As I have prepared you with shortening the beginning of our service and explaining what we're planning on doing today, I'd ask you to turn with me to Exodus 35, and we're going to read quite a few chapters today because they're so closely connected, and it's otherwise summary in nature, so we're not going to really preach through all the details, but we are going to read a large section of the text. Before we do that, I want to share a few things to set up the text for us and to set us up for the text. And as you know, I'm so thankful that God had in our psalm devotion this morning, verse 161 of Psalm 119, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." My heart standeth in awe of thy word. So we have the opportunity for that to be our experience today. As we say, wow, we're going to have to go through five chapters. Instead, we can say, wow, we're going to get to go through five chapters. And a few things I want to say in terms of introducing the text and again, preparing us for it. First of all, it's not a typo in the bulletin. We're going to read chapters 35 through 39. That's because the chapters go together. Now, I first sat down this week and said, oh, wow, I'm just going to preach three verses. That'll be helpful this week. It'll be short. It's on the Sabbath. But let me look ahead and see how all the... I know it's all the tabernacle summary again. Let me see how it's going to break down. Probably there's some new things that allow for not giving you all what we've already looked at, but... maybe some new things. And what I found is there's just no way to break it apart. And I don't want to give you a bunch of sermons for subsequent weeks now that of what you've already heard. And I don't think that's really what God is doing with the text. I think He intends for us to read all this together because everything is joined together by a point of emphasis. There is a little bit of new stuff here, but it's really the thread that ties it all together that will not really catch as much if we don't bring it together. In fact, what you have here in the text today is almost word for word verbatim chapters 25 through 31 on the tabernacle. And so therefore, some liberal theologians say it can't be part of the original text. This is all repeat, almost exactly word for word. Nobody's going to do that. So therefore, somebody inserted it later. It's not part of the original text. That's not true. There's a purpose for it. Umberto Casuto points this out to us. Just as we had that understanding of how things relate through the judicial laws and in the two copies of the Ten Commandments of the Covenant and how that was reflecting the ancient Near East culture, that's the same thing today with why this is all repeated practically verbatim. It was ancient Near East custom for the king to give the law in very clear details. And then it was custom after that to say, and they did it exactly as he said. It was very customary to put that in there as well. And so Casuto says, if it was not here now, if we didn't have everything that was just said repeated, it would seem to be missing if you understand the culture of the times. But we know that God isn't beholden to culture, although he chooses sometimes to reflect it because he's calling out his own nation from the culture. So he has reason for us as well simply to review it again. One thing that he also points out I think is helpful for us today, considering we're going to read all five chapters together. He says you should really notice, like it just emphasizes by all the work and all the details and the constant words of they came and they brought, all these things the people did. He says what you should have envisioned in your mind is lines and lines of people waiting. You might think of it, lines of people, wouldn't it be wonderful, coming down the street waiting to get into church to wait upon the Lord and happy to wait. Just as much as the pagans wait on whatever else they wait in line for. He says, because that's what's happening. We should have envision, we should picture that they are waiting in line to make their offerings to build the church, the tabernacle of the Lord. Matthew Henry points out it probably took them about 5 months. Now, frankly, that's really fast. If you think about everything we're going to revisit today, that's pretty fast. On the other hand, 5 months. 5 months of lines. Constantly coming, men and women, bringing their donations, bringing their own work and skills to build this thing. And you should have that in view. And as we have that in view, may we offer our heart to this long reading of many lines of text. I did it first in the Hebrew. And that's not to brag. I'm like an infant with the Hebrew. It took me a long time, the better part of a day. And I was going to skip the Hebrew. I said, well, I'll just read the parts I know are new. I don't have time to really read through everything I know is there in the Hebrew because it's hard. Especially this stuff is harder than other parts. And I said, I just don't feel comfortable skipping God's word like that. I never skip the Hebrew otherwise. I don't want to do that to you. And just in my, I'm not bragging. What I do want to encourage you is in my own going through the Hebrew slowly, because that's the only way I can do it, I was blessed. All of these things in the tabernacle, wow, I'm remembering everything we studied and all that it means for us in the New Testament with Christ. And I want to encourage you that the Lord would use the summary to help you remember, because I won't explain them. As we read about all these things in the tabernacle, try to remember the diagrams. Try to remember how it all applies in the New Testament. Let the Lord bless you with the review of what the tabernacle is. I was blessed. I trust you will be blessed by the reading as we come with an awe for God's Word. Let us have a heart for God's Word and remember all that we've studied and be blessed as we see it all come together in the building of it. It's all coming together today. We had the blueprints, now we have the building. And remember that it is all a picture truly of Christ and of heaven and of you with Him and in His kingdom of heaven on earth. One day, a new heaven and new earth. With that, I trust the Lord is preparing our hearts to read the text together. And so we turn to Exodus 35, and I thank you for your patience as we'll read together chapters 35 through 39. Again, I'm not going to explain all these details. I ask you to remember what we've studied in great detail in chapters 25 through 31. I am going to bring out to you some highlights of some themes that bring it all together, and I encourage you to be looking for where are the themes that bring this all together. And it's hinted at, and I'll give you the point of the sermon now and then revisit it. It's hinted with this. Prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. I think that's the application of all this scripture together. Prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. I'll draw out those themes, but you look for them since we're reading through a lot together. May God bless all these words to sink down deeply into your hearts. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and badger's skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his taches and his boards, his bars, his pillars and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves, and all his vessels and the showbread. The candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, and their sockets, and the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the clothes of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger's skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled with him the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains, one unto another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 taches of gold, and coupled the curtains one unto another with the taches. So it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain in the coupling, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And he made 50 tatchets of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram's skins, dyed red, and a covering of badger's skins above that. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. The length of a board was 10 cubits, and the breadth of a board 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards, for the south side southward. And 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards. And there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards. And 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to 1 ring. Thus he did to both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, under every board 2 sockets. And he made bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold, and made their rings of gold to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen. With cherubims made he it of cunning work. And he made thereunto 4 pillars of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it were their hooks. And he overlaid their chapters and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass. And so now we begin chapter 37. And Bezaleel made the ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, and a cubit and a half the breadth of it, and a cubit and a half the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon the one side and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece made he them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the end of this side, and another cherub on the other end of that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seatward where the faces of the cherubims. And he made the table of shittim wood, 2 cubits was the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Also he made thereunto a border of an handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes, and his spoons, and his bowls, and his covers, to cover withal of pure gold. And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers. And a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches going out of it. The knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns of it. Also he made unto it a crown of gold round about, and he made 2 rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the 2 corners of it upon the sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the stays of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the apothecary. And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and the flesh hooks, and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. And he made for the altar a brazen gate of network under the compass thereof, beneath unto the midst of it. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass to be places for the staves. And he made the stays of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the stays into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen and 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20 and their basin sockets 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the north side, the hangings were in 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20 and their sockets of brass 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side, eastward, 50 cubits. The hangings of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate on this hand and that hand were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen. And the sockets for the pillars were of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters and their fillets of silver. And all the pins of the tabernacle and of the court round about were of brass. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. And Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work, in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703 score and 15 shekels after the shekels of the sanctuary. A beka for every man that is, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the brazen altar, and the brazen grate for it, and all the vessels of the altar, and the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about. And so we begin the last chapter we read today, chapter 39. And of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments of Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it, to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was 4 square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it 4 rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathed chains of gold and the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the 2 ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made 2 rings of gold, and put them on the 2 ends of the breastplate, upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings, and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates around the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like unto the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his taches, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram's skins dyed red, and the covering of badger's skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hangings for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. I trust you can see how it all fits together, and that climax is there in the end. Having read those five chapters, I thank you for attending to them with proper reverence for the Word, showing you are people of the Word. But how shall we summarize it? Tried to emphasize as I read through some of the main threads. How shall we summarize? What is the main point of these five chapters, and each of them very long chapters? What's the main point of the text? I submit to you it's something like this. Exodus chapters 35 through 39 that you just read could be summarized like this. The Israelites gladly build God's tabernacle exactly as the Lord designed it, and were blessed for doing so. And they accomplished it all because the vast majority of them had happy, wise, and willing hearts. Let me read that for you again, because it's a lot of text. Let me give you the summary one more time, because that's what the sermon point is based on and the order of the sermon. The Israelites gladly build God's tabernacle exactly as the Lord designed it, and were blessed for doing so. They accomplished it all because the vast majority of them had happy, wise, and willing hearts. The same goes for today. You are the spiritual tabernacle this is all pointing to. I mean, keep in mind, it's amazing all the details, isn't it? I couldn't help but think as we were reading through, they say the devil is in the details. No, the Lord is in the details. The devil would have us skip right over all this. But think about all of this detail that was never meant to stay permanent. So that you understand the permanency and all that's important about you. You are the true spiritual temple, the true spiritual tabernacle. You are the true spiritual builders doing the same thing you read about here today. And so may we all have the same spirit that they have. May we all have the same heart that they had so that we would keep building up the true tabernacle of the Lord, the church, the kingdom of heaven. And here's the sermon point again, based on the text. Prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. Prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. So the applying it a little more closely, do you want a blessed body life? Prepare your hearts. Prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. It is a blessing to serve God by serving His church. That's the first thing we want to see here. It is a blessing to serve God by serving His church. In chapter 35, verses 1 to 3, before they do anything, they're reminded, keep the Sabbath a priority to preserve worship so that you preserve its blessing. You might be tempted to do all this busy church work on my holy day. Don't do it. Remember, that's repeat. But it's so that you worship. The whole point of it is to worship and to receive the blessing of worship. Remember Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14 was our memory verse recently in the evening. And to summarize, he says, if you delight in my Sabbath, you will thus delight in me. If you want me to cause you to ride high upon the places of the earth, if you want me to feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, then you will delight in my Sabbath. You see, it's a blessing. There's a blessing to be had when you do it God's way. And you'll be blessed if you obey the Sabbath. That's why he's so concerned to make sure we don't neglect it, even for the building of the tabernacle. The building of the tabernacle itself, remember, goes back to chapter 25, verse 8, where it all began. Here's the purpose. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Similarly spoken in chapter 29, verse 45. But the whole point of the tabernacle is so that God can come and dwell in their midst in a special way that would otherwise not happen. That is considered a blessing. They're afraid God has chosen earlier because of the golden calf not to do that. They say, please, please, come in our midst. We don't want to leave without the tabernacle. We don't want the promised land without the tabernacle because we don't want the promised land without you in our midst. That's a blessing we don't want to miss out on. Chapters 35 through 39, the whole text we read, will result in verses 34 through 38 next week. After they build it up, it's all built after they put it up next week, God's glory comes down in an incredible manifestation and goes with them wherever they go. That's the whole point. The word tabernacle is literally dwelling place. This is all about the tabernacle, and you see that constantly referred to. It's where God will dwell with them. Chapter 39, verse 32, and verses 42 to 43, we see that Moses looked upon everything they brought and everything they did and all that was done, and he blessed them. And he blessed the Sabbath day. And that is not accidental. It harkens back to Genesis when God looked out over all that he made in the garden before the fall, where he was going to dwell with his people, and he blesses them. And then when he's done with all his work, he looks over it all and he blesses the Sabbath day of rest. You see, this is all pointing that we're going to get back to a place of rest with the Lord. It points to the eternal Sabbath, Hebrews chapter 4. The eternal Sabbath worship blessing that we have in Christ. Chapter 35, verses 5 and 10, verses 20 to 22, verses 25 to 26 and 29 chapter 36, verses 2 to 5, and verse 18 here is a major emphasis. We'll talk more about it later, the free, willing hearts of these people. We'll talk about that more later, but think about what a blessing that is in itself. A free, willing heart service to worship the Lord joyfully united all their hearts. That's a blessing. That's called teamwork. Teamwork feels good for each member of the team. Teamwork develops a sense of team, and that's a blessing. A blessing of belonging. A blessing of brotherhood. A blessing of fellowship under a united common purpose and cause under our one King of glory. It's all such a blessing. That's what we need to see here. What a blessing. It ends at that crescendo. They did it. They did it. And God's about to dwell with us. We almost lost it all. And yet here it is. It happened. What a blessing. Notice also the tabernacle. It's all these different pieces being brought into one. So the New Testament church is one spirit, one body, one baptism. And so you share in its many blessings of being part of that one tabernacle. Such as at the end of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, where Christ says to them before he ascends into heaven, and it came to pass while he blessed them. It describes what he does in their response. It came to pass while he blessed them. You see, his work on earth was done in terms of salvation. Now he's going to continue the work of building the church. He blessed them, he was parted from them, and he carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's how the Gospel of Luke ends. And then it gets, and what's the second part of his book? The book of Acts. And how they build it throughout the whole world. Because the tabernacle is now going to go throughout all nations. They shared in the blessings of being Christ's building in the New Testament, as you should enjoy in these things. Such as Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. It reads, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." As well, Acts 4, verses 32 to 35, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul," just as the text today. That's why they accomplished things. "They had all things common, and great grace was upon them all, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." That's a blessing. That's something the rest of the world will pay attention to. That is the blessing of being part of the church and common, having a common heart, a common soul, and thus the common blessings that come with it. Indeed, it involves sacrifice. Indeed, it involves getting through persecution together. But it involves great, great common blessings in this life as we have the hope of glory we share together in the life to come. On the opposite side of things, Jesus warns us in Mark 3, verse 25, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. But a house that is blessed is a house that can stand together. A house that is blessed is a house that can bear up one another together. Serving God and His church is hard work. It's a blessing. But serving God and His church, if you're doing it right, if you're doing it for real, it's hard work. The tabernacle was built by what? The offerings. That's one of the theme words that comes up a lot. Offerings, offerings. The only reason this thing is built is because the people give up offerings of everything that's needed to build it. And it's a lot of really nice stuff. And they're happy to do it. But this does require going out, getting it, bringing it back, waiting in long lines, happy to wait and give it to the work of the Lord. Go back, come back again later, continuing to supply the work. The tabernacle was built by offerings of people's treasures, talents, and time. Look at chapter 35, verse 5. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." This idea of offering is repeated, verse 10 of the chapter. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. There's also the working, the talents, the making of these things. Verses 20 to 29. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Look ahead to chapter 36, verses 2 to 7. Chapter 36, verses 2 to 7. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And I think we'll skip ahead through verse 7, but it talks about how every man had a wise heart and they all came and they worked. They did a lot of work, just like the women work, spinning and doing the things they could do. They're all not only bringing things, but those who can are also doing work. And then we look to chapter 38, verses 24 to 25. All the gold that was occupied for the work and all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703 score and 15 shekels after the shekels of the sanctuary. And it goes on. I believe it was earlier in some of the verses we skipped past. It says they brought so much stuff, they had to say, that's enough. We've got more than we need, and we have so much we can't even use it all. Send the word throughout the camp. Stop! Stop! You're wonderful, but stop! We can't do anything with all this stuff. Please stop! What a blessing. The people were just going out of their way to serve, but that's hard work, bringing all that stuff, spinning all that stuff, making all that stuff. It took months and months. But it is the implementation of the tabernacle that was instituted in chapters 35 through 31. They had an interruption there because of the golden calf, but they've got a new heart. And so instead of building worship to the pagans gods, they now have a heart to build for the true God. And so they're implementing what was interrupted, the instructions of the tabernacle earlier. I want you to look around this building. Look at the roof, look at the walls, look at the pillars. Look at the lights, look at all the things here. Think about the other buildings, the fireside room. You know, we even look at the picture from the 1960s and say, hey, look what's not there yet. And now there's new buildings. Think about the fellowship room that is there now, wasn't in that picture, that we're there all the time. Think about the offices in the back. There's a date. I think it was 4 years old when it was built. Somebody did that. I understand somebody donated and did the work here. Think about all these things, the property we're so thankful to have. You worship and you serve and you work in these buildings by the money, sweat, and tears of others who came before you. And if the next generation is going to enjoy these things, it'll be the same that they can say about you. They worship and they serve in these buildings by the money, sweat, and tears of you. This is how God works. He uses his people to do the work. Have the blessing, but do the work. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Romans 12, verses 1 to 5. You see, serving Christ's body does develop calluses on your hands, no doubt. It's hard work. It's a blessing. You know, just like any blessing, you sit down at the end of the day when you've done good hard work and you can see what you've done, there's a blessing in that alone. There's a blessing in knowing that you've pleased your master, that you've blessed your boss, knowing you've been a good servant. But it does develop calluses because it's hard work. But those calluses happen because you are motivated by tender souls. You see, working hard for God, working hard for His church, comes from people who have soft hearts. It is a blessing to serve God by serving His church. And serving God in His church is hard work. Working hard for God in His church, therefore, comes from people who have soft hearts. After all, it was their stiff necks that interrupted the work. Exodus 32, verse 9, 33, verses 3 and 5, 34, verse 9. It's what's spoken of them all through the Old and New Testament. Elsewhere referred to as stiff-hearted and hard-hearted, such as in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. The work got interrupted and almost didn't happen because they had hard hearts that didn't want to be bothered. They were unwilling to serve. They were unwilling to work because they were unwilling to obey God's commands given to them through His ministers. Like chapters 32 and 33, that's why we have the golden calf issue. But it's different now. It's a different heart, so you see, completely different work. It's different when they have one heart that loves the Lord. And that's, I think, the most important theme of chapters 35 through 39. They do very hard work. They get it done and they're blessed. But the reason they get blessed by the hard work and its product is because it is out of soft, good hearts that want to be bothered with it. And it's not so much to get those things that is they just love God. It's summarized in chapter 39, verse 32. Look at chapter 9, verse 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. And look ahead to verses 42 and 43, the summary of the whole thing. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Why is the work done? Because they work hard. Why are they blessed? Because they work hard. They got the job done. But why did they do it? Because God commanded it. And a heart that loves God does what He commands. The theme summarized in those verses is, you saw it all through the text. They did all those different specific things as or all that the Lord commanded. That's the theme through. But what is it to say they did all the Lord commanded, but to say that they loved God back? He says in the Ten Commandments, Jesus says in the New Testament, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so they show they have a heart for God and love Him because they do what He says. Exactly as He says. Specifically in great detail. They don't sigh and say, I don't want to read all this. I don't want to do all this. They say, oh boy, let's get to work and build the house of God. And let's do it exactly as He says because I love Him and what He says has to be best. That's the heart of a people that loves God, that gets a church built, a true spiritual church. They did it all as God commanded exactly, because that's a sign that they love Him. The same free, willing, wise hearts is what they shared. And we want to see that emphasized. We've read through most of this, but let's go back. Chapter 35, verse 5. We looked at how they did all the work, but now we emphasize in the same verses where that hard work came from. Soft hearts that were free, willing, wise, and generous, or noble. They were inclined to the work. Those are the literal words in the Hebrew of these hearts. Freely, willing, wise hearts, inclined, generous, and noble. And I read it to you here, Exodus 35, verse 5. So now we look at their hearts. The work they did is within it, but now we look at where the work came from. The hard work came from soft hearts. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. A willing heart. Look ahead to verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all the Lord hath commanded. Every willing and wise heart. It's wise to be willing to do what the Lord says. Verses 21 to 22. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up. Literally, when you see that, it means lifted up. Their hearts were lifted up. They were lighthearted to do it. They loved it. Happy to do it. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And now we look ahead to verses 25 and 26. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin. Verse 26, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. And then we look at chapter 36, verse 8, the first part, and every wise-hearted man among them. It's their hearts. Why are they doing the hard work? Because they had a heart for it. Or you could say they had a mind for it. Because they loved God and they loved His people, and this is all their life centered around. God in their very midst that they wanted in a more real way, and the more real way is here with you today and in heaven, in the new heaven and new earth. That's what their life centered around. That's where their heart was at. Jesus says, right? The treasure of your heart. What you treasure, that's where your heart is. They treasured God's presence in the middle of them, so that's where their heart was. And therefore, that's what the fruit of their life showed. You see, large hearts lay out large offerings and make magnificent works for Christ's church. They're happy to work hard, even while they have to pass by others with hard hearts who refuse to serve and worship. Seems to me that's hinted at for chapter 35. Verses 20 to 22. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So they go. He's given them command, go get stuff, come back and do the work. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. So what do we see here? I think it's fair to say most of the people did this. But notice the qualification. Everyone whose, or everyone whom, as many as were. So it would seem some people in the church, as is true of every generation of the church, maybe tares, maybe just lazy wheat, they can't be bothered to show up. They can't be bothered to provide. They can't be bothered to put their hands to work because they don't have a heart for it. But here's what we notice. While that seems to have been the case, the majority says whatever to their whatever, and they got to work. They were about to be let, those who can't be bothered to work or show up for the house of God, they're not about to let them stop their work. You see, soft hearts won't be dragged down by hard hearts. Warm hearts won't be stopped by cold ones. Big hearts won't be held back by small ones. Because those with the right heart are too happy to serve and they're too focused on heaven to worry about it. That's frustrating. but they are not going to stop the work. And they're not going to stop being happy about the work, regardless of those who sit on their hands around them, letting them do it all. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. We should make it clear today, this is not a taxing of the people, and this is not their tithe. This is above and beyond their tithe. These are free will, special offerings. Tithe is required by all of God's people. This is all built. The whole church is built by the special free will offerings of God's people. He does not tax them. He wants willing service. And you see, that's what it's going to be in heaven. In heaven, the only people who will be there are the ones who all along have actually really wanted to be seen in their service. And they'll be serving and working alongside of other in God's temple in heaven forever because they want to be there, because they always wanted to be there. They're working because they always wanted to work, because they've always loved God, so they get to love God for eternity together. He wants it not to be grudgingly, not to be uncheerful for the special acts of service to build the house of God. Psalm 110 verse 3 you sang today, it's a particularly prophetic song about Christ the Messiah, when He would come in the New Testament. Verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauty of holiness. Now, we know from verse 4, also verses 1 and 2, but verse 4, God speaking to the Son, and verse 4 is quoted in the New Testament a lot, along with Psalm 2. Especially in the book of Hebrews, constantly, thou art a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Harkening back to Genesis 14. It is the type and figure of Christ as well, the true priest out of the line of Judah, whose ministry never ends. Chapters 5 to 7 of Hebrews, you'll see Psalm 110 verse 4 quoted constantly. So that reminds us that if that's the case, verse 3 is about you and the true New Testament church. Those all true in the old as well, but now spiritual and forever. When Jesus Christ comes into your life truly, when Jesus Christ comes and works as the priest, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, truly in the New Testament times and forever in His kingdom of heaven, started now, finished in His second coming. When He really comes into place and is really working, here's what happens. Thy people shall be willing. That when Jesus is really amongst us, the people will be willing, or at least the majority of the people will be willing. They'll have a willing heart to do the work and sacrifice whatever else it takes to do it. They won't say, I can't give extra or tithe, let alone, because I have my money's going to these worldly things. No, that's not how a person speaks when Christ is working in their life. They will say, I can't come to this event. I can't come to evening worship. I can't come to the extra devotions. I can't come to the special monthly events. I mean, granted, we all have things we have to do. Some of us have to work those times. We understand that. And there are other parts of life. But, you know, when I can't be bothered to do anything with the church, it shows I don't have a heart for her. I don't have a willingness. I mean, we do what we want. But when Christ works, the people are willing, at least the majority. They get work done, they do the hard work and enjoy the blessing of it because Christ is in their heart. The work of their hands proves it. It starts with a willing heart. The true church will be full of producers of wheat, even while they have to trudge through weeds to get the work done, because they're waiting for harvest, and the harvest is heaven. This is what the tabernacle represents. This is what you, Christ's church, must reflect. Actually, the tabernacle is supposed to be a shadow of reflecting what you truly are. Remember, it's given to us all through Exodus, all through the chapters we've been looking at with the tabernacle. It's reminded to us in Hebrews 8, 5. This is all. This tabernacle, as glorious as it is, and they're rejoicing we got it done, it's not going to last. Remember, the veil is over the glory that fades. It's not going to last. It's not meant to last. It's meant to point to you who will last and that will never fade away. It's actually supposed to be reflecting you. The temple of Christ, with His Spirit dwelling and working in and within you. So when we look back with our children over our time in our serving His church, we can say with our covenant children, Nehemiah 4, verse 6, we'll all be able, Lord willing, because we've had willing hearts by His grace to do a lot of work. We'll look back and we'll say, Nehemiah 4, verse 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto half the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Which is the same thing as to say that people had a heart for Christ's church and to build it. Our body reflects the heartbeat within us. May we pulse with love for Jesus Christ and feel it in our offering up of our obedience to all His commandments, to love God with everything within us, to love His presence within our midst, and to love one another as our very own selves and love to be among one another. With such a uniting of hearts, wait and watch for God to bless us with growth from within and without. For prepared hearts produce a blessed body life. Lord, prepare our hearts, we pray, that we go out changed people, that our hearts are broken and contrite, further, softer, more ready to be molded by You, that we desire to look like Jesus Christ as His body in all we do together, not having severed arms or legs or heads or body parts that don't go the same direction. Pray that Your prayer in John 17 will be true for us, that the world will know that You are the Son of God, sent by God, because they look at us and they see that we are one as You are one with the Father. May we be all different members joined together truly as one body, the true spiritual tabernacle and temple. May You, Jesus Christ, the true high priest after the order of Melchizedek, work within Your true spiritual temple, the people of God, looking forward to the harvest of the new heaven and the new earth, where only the true people of God will be. There'll be no more weeds to try to have to work among and slow down by. Just a perfect, glorious work that is totally consistent with eternal rest, which we can't even fathom but will be true. Because there'll be no sin, no division, no problems, no breakdowns of the body. For the head, Jesus Christ, will be with us in the flesh. And the Spirit of God will truly in His glory abide with us in our midst. As at the time of creation before the fall in the Garden of Eden, but so much more gloriously as we have studied in the book of Revelation. Help us to be working to that, Lord. Help us to have a mind to work. Help us to purpose our hearts to give, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. Help us to be willing in this, the day of Your power, in the beauty of Your holiness, to build Your church with the confidence that as we keep our hand to the plow, we will advance and break through all of this world, and the gates of hell will not be able to stop us. Give us such a united heart that we would have great, united, blessed work and a blessed body life. If the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, so we trust our labor with one heart will be truly sweet, especially as we put down our plows and rest forever in heaven together. We ask Your blessing on our work in the meantime. Give us willing hearts, that we would produce a blessed body life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.